Welcome back into the program here at BunSports.com. This is our first show of 2014. The new calendar year is upon us, and a new college football season is less than 200 days away, or 199 to be exact. But we are now past National Signing Day, and the SEC, once again, surprise, surprise, dominating. Alabama coming in first. That's consensus first in all polls. LSU coming in second, and a number of SEC teams filling in the rest of the spots in the top 10 of each recruiting service. We will give you the average ranking by each SEC team as we move throughout the program here. This is kind of a National Signing Day recap show, and we'll talk about that as a number of other topics as well. The college football professor will join us right now, and I'll bring him in. Professor, once again, the SEC rules the roost in recruiting, and I think that's a pretty good indication that the SEC's dominance as far as national titles and BCS, bowl games, however you want to slice it, the SEC's dominance will continue far into the future.
Yes, I agree with that, Jacob. And the interesting thing, you mentioned the fact that Alabama and LSU seem to dominate the recruiting, and you think about the incredible year that Alabama had and the incredible year that LSU had, and yet there was good distance, but yet right there were six or seven in the top 10 from the SEC. So while they were dominant, there were still those that are lurking just on the outside.
Just a few of the headliners signed by each, Alabama and LSU. Alabama signed defensive back Tony Brown, linebacker Rashawn Evans, Deshaun Hand, Marlon Humphrey, of course the son of Bobby Humphrey, the Alabama great from Alabama here. Cameron Robinson, the offensive lineman. Those are some for Alabama. For LSU, they signed wide receiver Malachi Dupree, who I think is probably the number one prospect coming out of their class, and that includes what some people have as the number one overall prospect, and that is Leonard Fournette, the running back there from Louisiana. Jamal Adams, John Battle, Garrett Brumfield, a couple of LSU's key signatures on the class of 2015. But once again, Nick Saban, Les Miles. I read an interesting article this morning from Glenn Gilbo in Louisiana talking about how these guys are 60-plus years old. They're old guys, so to speak, yet they continue to dominate recruiting, and their teams will be the teams to beat once again in the SEC this year.
Well, let me give you a perspective. Let's just take Alabama, for instance. Alabama had recruits from 15 different states. By my account, they were the most national of all the teams in recruiting. For instance, you would think that some other schools, like Ohio State, they went to 12 states. Florida State recruited in 11 states, Tennessee 13, USC in only 5 states, and Notre Dame with 14 from 14 different states. And Alabama had 3 players, as far as I could tell, from any one city. The most that anybody had was from Alabama, had 3 from Monroe, Louisiana. So that was interesting. But then you notice that Alabama got the number one player from the state of Virginia, from the state of Alabama, Arkansas, South Carolina, and Minnesota, and got the number two player from Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Iowa, and the junior college ranks. They got the number one tackle, the number one center, the number two center, the number one strong side defensive end, and the number one outside linebacker, the number 2 and 4 cornerbacks, and the number 2 and number 3 what are listed as athletes. So that's pretty much a dominance.
It's become a national task to recruit in the SEC. It's we've always talked about how Tennessee has to recruit out of their state. Well, every SEC school is recruiting out of your state, unless you're LSU. And it's amazing how many top prospects came out of the state of Louisiana this year. I think Stanford, Florida, Alabama, other schools as well, signing a lot of blue chip players from the state of Louisiana. And then, of course, LSU signed a great deal of them themselves. This is how the average rankings shook out, and this is taking the four widely regarded as the top four recruiting services out there, Rivals, Scout, ESPN, and 24/7, and averaging their final tally. Tennessee finished 5.25, Texas A&M 5.5, Auburn and Florida both at 7.75. Good classes there for both of them. Will Muschamp on the hot seat. He needs a good class. Georgia 9.25, Ole Miss 17.5, Kentucky 19.5. How about the Wildcats this year? They're kind of the story of this recruiting season in the SEC, other than, of course, the top teams. South Carolina at 21.5, Arkansas at 30.5, Missouri 34.75, Mississippi State 38.5, and Vanderbilt, the worst in the SEC, coming in at 48.67. So not a really bad class in the lot. The SEC, once again, dominant.
Yes, it's interesting. You take, and those that you listed, if you looked at one, you'd think that they'd probably been a little higher, and that would be Steve Spurrier at South Carolina.
Yeah.
He had a fairly good recruiting class, but he was way down in the SEC. That just shows how strong the SEC is. And also, it says that his recruiting is not up to the par with the top three, four, or five teams in the conference.
It's amazing. Auburn had a really nice class this year. Ninth by Rivals, eighth by Scout, eighth by ESPN, and sixth by 24/7. The Tigers finished an average. If you're averaging, they finished fifth in the SEC, though. That's the problem, or tied for fifth with Florida, and that would be fourth in their own division after Alabama, LSU, and Texas A&M. That's where we are in the SEC right now. But Auburn's definitely had some key signees as well. Rock Thomas from Oxford, Alabama, and DeQuell Williams, Trey Williams, Calvarez Bissett, who we know is in a little bit of legal trouble already in Auburn, and Devontae Lambert, also another key player for Auburn. So nobody really having a bad class. Tennessee was up there, as I mentioned, about 5.25 average for them. And Texas A&M, they're having another recruiting class. Don't know if there's a Johnny Manziel in this class, but Kevin Sumlin certainly keeping the talent in College Station.
Well, it's interesting that looking at these teams, Alabama and LSU and Texas A&M and Miami probably were the leaders at what we would might call the star power. Of course, Alabama had eight of the top 50 in Bun Sports top 50 listing. LSU had five, Florida State four, Texas A&M three, Miami three, and Florida three. But I don't think that Texas A&M and Miami, while they had the star power, had the depth that LSU and Alabama did. They both had star power and depth in their classes. And we might look, Tennessee had a great year, but theirs might be just a little bit overrated. Not that it's, I don't mean that that's not a great, great class for them, but it may be a little bit higher up the board than it should be because their numbers just cause them to have more. It increases their volume.
Well, Tennessee certainly, Butch Jones has built that program back, or is building it, as he would say, brick by brick in Knoxville. I think it will be interesting to see how they fare this year. I'm not sure they'll be in competition for the Eastern Division. But next year, I look for Tennessee to be a power and perhaps even a national contender if things remain on schedule as they currently are. I want to shift gears for just a moment here before we wrap this program up and talk about an interesting story that came out Friday, and it talks about the SEC potentially getting into a scheduling deal with the ACC. I want to get your thoughts on this, college football professor. The ACC is considering a deal that would have each of its teams play eight league games. This is a report by ESPN's Heather Denich, who covers the ACC. That would have each of their teams play eight league games in ACC play and have one game per year against the SEC. Source, though, tells ESPN that the deal does not, or that he doesn't see a scenario in which all 14 SEC teams would agree on what their opponent would be. As we know, Georgia plays Georgia Tech already, Florida plays Florida State, South Carolina plays Clemson, I think Vanderbilt plays Wake Forest most years. So there is a little bit of a built-in rivalry with the SEC and the ACC. But first of all, regardless of whether it does come to fruition or not, do you think this would be a good scheduling alliance for the SEC for each team to play an ACC team every year?
No, I do not. I don't even see the sense of it.
Why not?
But well, I'll tell you why. If they were going to do this, you take teams like Alabama and Tennessee and some others, they'd probably go to nine conference games before they would take on an ACC game. That would just be my
opinion. And there is some conversation that if they went to nine conference games, that this would be their one big non-conference game out of conference, and that would be interesting. If once we go to this playoff format, strength of schedule is supposedly going to be very important. So 10 big games a year may become the norm, maybe even more than that.
Well, and again, when I say I don't think it's a good idea, I'm not privy to some of the information. It might be that this is the beginnings of setting up the power conferences, mm-hmm. where they're going to just play within themselves. Like the, and I'm not trying to compare them to the professional, but like the National Football League,
right?
In that they would be, all the conferences would be paired up in some way like that. So that might be part of the discussion.
Final question for the college football professor today. With their performance in the Super Bowl this past weekend, Seattle, of course, winning 43-8, dominating the Denver Broncos. My question to you is, you think Seattle could finish 500 in the SEC West?
Well, I'm telling you, you're talking about a defense. Now, they really played some trifling defense, and they were able to stop one of the most prolific quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
What a performance they had. But at the same time, I don't think Denver really brought their A game. I don't know why that
they
is.
Didn't.
But they didn't do that, and so that made it the one-sided game that it was. Not that Denver may have won the game. I don't know that they would have if they'd brought the A game, but it wouldn't have been a runaway like it was.
Professor, it's always good, and this, of course, is a heavy time of year in terms of recruiting, but a light time of year in terms of play on the field. But spring ball will be getting started at a number of schools in about a month, so we will look forward to that, and I'm sure we'll be chatting again soon about all things college football because the news really never stops, even though the play does for a few months. But it's good to chat with you, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Jacob. Have a great day.
Jacob Bunn for BunnSports.com. We will be back soon, of course, keeping you up to date on all the relevant information in the world of college football.